It's interesting how there's so much open space up in the front of the church. Feel free to fill the seats in the front.
We got a bunch of back row Baptists here.
It's okay. No shame in sitting in the back. We're going to get started this morning. On time for once. How about that? You may notice that I am not indeed Pastor Sam. He is away vacationing in Arizona, as I understand it. Soaking up some sun. Lucky guy. So, would you all pull out your bulletin real quick? And let's see what's happening in Lake Hazel Bible Church this week. A couple of things. Let's just skip right to the most important thing. On the back, on the prayer section, Dottie Gates is not on here. Dottie Gates is in the hospital right now for a stroke. So that should be the top priority for us to talk about and pray about in this bulletin. So please keep Dottie Gates in your prayers. I understand she has been moved from ICU into a regular hospital room. So please lift her up in prayer this week. A couple things today. We have a church family dinner after the service today. Yay! We enjoy our church family dinners. Please stick around. Even if you didn't have anything to bring, it's okay. Please join us for church family dinner. If you are new visiting with us today, please make sure that you grab one of those visitor envelopes at the front and fill out the connection card in there. Put that in the offering plate as it comes by. Also, there is a nice thank you in here from Becky, who just had her retirement party recently, so please take a look at that. Ladies, event coming up in March, worth going to. Who's heard of Chandra Pierce? She's a women's comedian and motivational speaker, Christian women's motivational speaker and comedian, well worth going to see. They can actually get the prices of tickets down to $27 a person if 10 ladies want to go to this thing. So you need to see Andrea Olson or Becky Tremaine if you have any questions about that or to sign up to go. Well, are you ready to worship this morning? You didn't come to hear me talk, or maybe you did, I don't know. But let's all stand up. Let's shake off the morning, shake off the 3 a.m. waking up and 6 a.m. waking up and all the things that get in the way, 4 a.m., babies crying. Shake off, get some energy. Let's open with a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Heavenly Father, we came for you today. We didn't come to this place to have a club. We didn't come to this place to just for the sole purpose of hanging out together. Lord, we came here for you. God, as we sing these songs, as we lift you up, as we sing Shine, Jesus, Shine, Lord, it's our desire that you would be spread across this whole land. Lord, as we sing In Christ Alone, you are the one that we put our faith into. You are the one that we stand upon. You are the reason that we're here today. Lord, we love you, and we're here for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Oh,
shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Oh, shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Let there be light.
Give the Lord a round of applause this morning. Come on, he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Please go and be seated as we continue this morning.
I'm gonna sing until my heart starts changing. Oh, I'm gonna worship till I mean every word. 'Cause the way I feel and the fear I'm facing doesn't change who you are or what you deserve. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I'm gonna live like my King is risen. Gonna preach to my soul that you've already won. And even though I can't see it, I'm gonna keep believing that every promise you've made is as good as done. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. You're worthy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy. You're worthy. Forever you're worthy of my song. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. And to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Let's give him glory this morning. Come on.
Oh, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things. And to you are all things. Deserve the glory. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard, who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. creation, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. Yes, I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, yet God crushed you for my sin. In agony and deep affliction, cut off that I might enter in. Who can grasp such tender compassion? Who can fathom this mercy so free? You are beautiful beyond description, Lamb of God who died for me. Yes, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And yes, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you.
Lord, you are worthy of our praise. You're the only one worthy. You're the only one worth standing in awe of. God, thank you. Thank you for what you did for us. Thank you, Lord, for mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, for lifting us up from a place that we couldn't get out of, but for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for bridging the gap. Lord, we love you and we stand in awe of you, our Creator, our Savior. And we love you and we declare glory and honor to you today. Amen. Whew. God is good, amen. Come on. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering. We're going to sing about that. You are good and all things perfect. Oh, I can trust your promise. I've never seen you turn away. You have loved me undeserving. Oh, I have seen your mercy. Follow me all my days. Oh, it doesn't make sense how your love is so good. You called me your friend and I thought I was too far gone. Now I know you're never gonna let me go. You are good and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. Hindsight's always 20/20. I can look behind me and see just how far I've come. You've
saved me from the brink of falling. Mercy shutting doors before me. Now I see all the good you've done. When it doesn't make sense and the future's unsure, I look at my past and I see you there all along. So I know you're never gonna let me go. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You are good, and you can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You are good. You can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You are good. You can only be good. You can't be anything else. You can't be anything else. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you. You're good today, you'll be good tomorrow. You've always been good on your promise. I know that every good thing comes from you.
It's good to praise the Lord, isn't it? It's good to remember the truth about God, not how we feel, but the truth. Kids, come on up. It's time for children's church. We always bring the kids up and we pray with you guys before we go to children's church, which is awesome. Both praying for you and going to children's church. It's both awesome. How are you guys doing? You ready? Oh yeah, today's gonna be the best one ever. The best children's church ever until next week. And then that one's going to be awesome, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you love us, that you care about us, and you've shown us through your word. Lord, as these kids go and learn a little bit more about you today, and as we do here in Big Church, Lord, we ask that you would show us just a little more about you. God, impact our lives today, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, guys, go and have a good time. It's funny, you pick up phrases that other people say, like Pastor Sam says, go and have a good time. So like I mentioned before, I'm not Pastor Sam. But you might be wondering, why does Jared stand before you today, not somebody else? Well, Pastor Sam and the rest of the elder board, they're all out of town. So they went down and scraped the bottom of the barrel and they found me, so here I am. No, the opportunity became available to preach, and so I responded to the call. So here I am. Who am I? You know me as Jared Schofield. I'm a deacon here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. Been serving as a deacon. Hey, there's my fellow deacon in the back there. For about 10 years or so, I preside over the worship service, the worship ministry. Obviously, I'm the worship leader. I also am a Sunday school teacher here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. When my kids got into Sunday school, I was reminded about my Sunday school upbringing, and I wanted to get involved and show them the truth from the scripture that has sculpted my life, so I got involved. I'm also a business owner. Some of you may or may not know that. I own a successful automotive repair business here in Boise. I'm not a mechanic. I just help people by fixing their cars and helping them through the stress of auto repair. I'm also a Timothy advisor. What is that? Shiloh Bible Camp is a camp in Donnelly, Idaho. They've been operating, I believe, since the 70s, and that has positively impacted thousands of kids for Jesus over decades, including kids from our own church. In fact, you might notice there's a bunch of kids missing this morning. My kids, the cable kids, a bunch of other kids are all gone. Where'd they all go? A bunch of them are at camp right now. There is a camp this weekend. So I am the Timothy advisor, which Shiloh has a program called the Timothy Program, which involves empowering kids to serve at the camp, but first they have to go through discipleship training. That's where I step in. So I'm the disciple, the Timothy Program advisor for the Boise area. My wife Christy and also Bob Kinnegy help me out with that every other Sunday night here at our church. So it's kind of like a 25 to 30 kid youth group almost. So pretty awesome, impacting kids for Jesus. Speaking of my family, I have been married to my wife, Christy, since 2001. My kids are Jesse, Jack, and Claire. You probably know them because they're all really tall. We have literally grown up here at Lake Hazel Bible Church for almost 12 years. So I wanted to say thank you to you, my church family, for investing in me and my family over the last decade or so. It is my sincere honor and pleasure to serve you, to serve our Boise area youth, my community, and in truth to serve my Lord and my God, Jesus, and to speak to you from this pulpit today. I do not take that lightly. So I mentioned earlier that I am the advisor for the Boise area Timothy program for Shiloh Bible Camp, and we happen to be studying this year in our discipleship program all the way through the book of Romans. So why Romans? God impressed upon me to share what I've been learning through that study of Romans thus far with you today. And let me tell you, it's been very encouraging as I've studied through the first five chapters so far of Romans and have taken questions to my brothers in Christ here in our own church and have wrestled with Scripture. In fact, a friend even mentioned to me, I love this, that Romans is like a mechanics guide for the Christian. That rings true with me because, hey, mechanic over here. So let me tell you that I have a newfound appreciation for wise counsel, as well as a renewed sense of awe for how amazing our God is. And that's what we're going to see. My hope over the next couple of weeks is that you likewise would be encouraged and built up as we take a look together over Romans 1 through 5. As a Sunday school teacher here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, we enrolled a few years back in the Answers in Genesis Sunday School curriculum. And I've been teaching through that curriculum ever since. In the beginning of the curriculum, we learned about Bible study practices. And the first step of Bible study method starts with observation. So, what is the text literally saying? For Sermon 1 today, we will observe the text and notice key ideas and phrases. In Sermon 2 next week, we'll tackle putting it all together. You'll notice today there's three main fill-in-the-blanks on your bulletin. I hope you got a bulletin. And we'll cover that, which will lay the foundation for Sermon 2 next week. As we work through those, then we'll move on to a chapter-by-chapter analysis, brief analysis of 1 through 5. But before we dive in, I need to warn you, we do a lot of Bible reading in our Timothy discipleship. The Word of God has infinitely more to say to you than I do. So we're going to do a lot of Bible reading over the next 2 weeks. I hope you don't fall asleep. All right, let's dive in. The first point, Paul is a missionary. Fill in the blank. Paul is a missionary. We're going to jump right into Romans chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. We are using the ESV version of the Bible. That's the version that our church typically uses. Read along with me. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who is descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is a missionary. It comes as no surprise that Paul starts out Romans, much like his other epistles, with a greeting consisting of credentials. But before we proceed, let's take a look backwards in Paul's life to find out where did that missionary commission come from. To find out, we need to back up to the story of his conversion on the road to Damascus. So, would you turn back with me to Acts chapter 9, verses 3 to 16. Now, we're doing a lot of Bible reading today. It's all going to be on the screen. If you don't want to flip through your Bible or I go too fast for you, just follow along in the screen. So, Acts 9, 3 to 16. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus. This is Saul, who would later be called Paul. Suddenly, a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Did you catch it? Paul is commissioned by Jesus to take Jesus' name to Gentiles, to kings, and the children of Israel. Let me rephrase that. Paul is commissioned by Jesus to take Jesus' name to everybody. And someone might say that he's accomplished that and is still accomplishing it in the form of the Bible continuing to go out into the world. Some of you may have noticed the Richie girls are back today, taking Jesus all over the world. This idea is repeated later in Romans 1. So let's keep reading. Romans 1, 8 to 15. "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks, to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. So Paul tells us that he's serving God in the gospel of his son in verse 8. He says that he's been delayed in visitation to Rome, but desires to reap a harvest among them in Rome, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles, because he's under obligation to Greeks, barbarians, wise and foolish. So to summarize the first point here, we might say that Paul indeed is a missionary, sanctioned and commissioned by God to proclaim Jesus to everyone. A question to ask yourself today is, should I pay attention to what Paul has to say? I know you're saying yes, like I am too. So that brings us to point number two. The gospel centers on Jesus. A simple scan over the text that we've read thus far proves very easily, very simply, that Jesus is at the very center of Paul's missionary ministry. But there's an interesting term that's just been added into the mix, gospel. What does the word gospel mean? Literally, it means good news. We heard Jesus say in Acts 9 that Paul is a chosen instrument who will take Jesus' name before all kinds of people. Paul states here in Romans 1 that he is set apart for the gospel of God. So we've also established that Jesus, being the very center of Paul's ministry, is therefore central to the good news. Paul solidifies this for us in Romans 1, 16 and 17. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Now, quick reminder, we're looking at what's being stated in all these verses. There's so much to unpack from what we've read even just so far. But before we start picking everything apart, I want to just look at the broad terms, the ideas that are being presented before we go into heavy definition, application, and interpretation. So let's fill in that last blank. The last blank is there is a righteousness issue. You might have thought that the fill-in-the-blank was going to be something like, there's a sin issue, right? But there's a righteousness issue. Paul tells us he's not ashamed of the gospel, for in it the power of God, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in what? In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. It's interesting. He doesn't say, for in it the grace of God is revealed, or the love of God is revealed, or the holiness of God is revealed. He says the righteousness of God is revealed. And furthermore, the quotation is a quotation from Habakkuk. Paul quotes Habakkuk saying, the righteous shall live by faith. So the question begs, what does righteousness have to do with anything? So let's keep reading. It's all here in the scriptures, lots and lots of scriptures. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So now we have a distinction. Did you see where Paul distinguishes between God's righteousness and man's unrighteousness in back-to-back verses? In 17, he tells us that the gospel reveals the righteousness of God, and then the righteous will live by faith, and then the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. God has made himself very clear to the world, namely his eternal power and divine nature, and yet unrighteous man suppresses that truth and exchanges the glory of the immortal God for images. That's idolatry. So I can tell you where I want to fall in this whole structure, and that's in the part that says the righteous shall live by faith. Praise God, Paul is going to show us how to get right to that point. In fact, Paul is going to show how you can't get to that point without Jesus, no matter what you think, no matter what you do. Now, someone might say, hey, Jared, aren't you going to define these terms that are being thrown around like righteous, righteousness, unrighteousness, ungodliness, salvation, faith, wrath, creator, creature, immortal, mortal, eternal, divine? There's some serious vocabulary going on here that Paul is using, and I want you to know that there is so much to learn from the book of Romans and from Paul. We do not have time in a 30-minute sermon to get through it all. So suffice it to say at this point, make no mistake, Jesus is the center of Paul's gospel message. And that gospel reveals a righteousness issue. Hopefully, if I've done my job correctly today, you all will want to know more and will search the scriptures, seeking for help from the Holy Spirit to enlighten you to the truth that's found here and throughout the rest of the scripture. But for our purposes today, I'm going to leave you hanging. So, let's do a brief discussion, a brief overview of chapters 1 through 5. Chapter 1. We've read a lot of chapter 1 already. We spent a lot of time there. We found that Paul is sanctioned by Jesus to deliver truth from God and is commissioned to bring that truth to everyone. There is no one off limits for Paul. Then we read that there is a righteousness issue between man and God. Don't worry, Paul doesn't just leave us hanging like I did. He goes on to explain in the following chapters. Chapter 2, there is no advantage when it comes to this righteousness issue. We're all in the same boat. In chapter 2, Paul discusses the idea of Jewish heritage and good law-abiding works versus no Jewish heritage, but a clean conscience accompanied by good works. And if either of those gives the unrighteous man any advantage in the righteousness issue one over another, all those different people that Paul is called to preach to, the wise, the foolish, the barbarian, the Jew, the Gentile, etc., etc., no one has any advantage over anyone else when it comes to God and the righteousness issue, even if they think they do. In chapter 3, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the solution which God provided. In fact, we're going to read a critical set of verses in chapter 3, 21 through 25. It says this: "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith." Well, we could just end right there and call it a day, right? believe in Jesus, end of story, right? If you get nothing at all from what I've said today, I hope that you hear and believe that Jesus is the solution to the righteousness problem between God and man. And by faith in Jesus, we receive righteousness which we don't deserve. In chapter 4, Paul discusses Abraham. What about Abraham? Abraham is the key to understanding that God accounts righteousness to people by faith. Chapter 4 is an interpretation of the historical record found in Genesis of Abraham's faith in response to a promise made by God for him and his offspring. Paul connects the idea of righteousness received by faith as not just being for Abraham, but to all who believe in Jesus, following in Abraham's footsteps. Let's read some verses out of chapter 4, verse 3, and then 23 to 25. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Not just Abraham, for us. So by this point, we should be pretty jazzed to know that even though we're unrighteous in and of ourselves as mankind, God bridged the gap between his righteousness and our unrighteousness with Jesus by faith. And why? Remember that little connection to wrath in chapter 1? To put it plainly, but for the righteousness accounted by faith, we'd all be under the wrath of God for our unrighteousness. And that's a bad place to be. We actually sang a song about that today. We sang, "In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song." Then in verse 2, we sang, "In Christ alone who took on flesh, fullness of God and helpless babe, the gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live." Finally, in chapter 5, we read that we are reconciled to God by faith in Jesus. We have peace with God. But we have more than that. We have sanctification or holy living made available to us, and eventually glorification or a sinless state. This is our hope. The last section of chapter 5 helps us understand that the believer in Jesus has no fear that sin could ever revoke eternal life, thanks to the grace afforded in the free gift of Jesus. So as we close today, you may be thinking, "Jared, you left us with more questions than answers," and you'd be right. Like I said before, Romans is loaded to the hilt with truth to unravel. Praise God that even in the broad strokes, the scriptures are still meaningful and effective, even for simple-minded barbarians like me. My prayer for you today is that you would be enlightened as you seek the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, as you read the Word of God, that the Word of God would strengthen you in faith and in hope, that you would be built up and encouraged to face a dark world in which you live, and that you would believe God and take Him at His Word. I hope you will join me next week for sermon number 2 as we take Romans 1 through 5 and we put it all together in a picture. Don't worry, no need to brush up on your artistic ability between now and then. The whole picture will take shape and hopefully become a bit clearer for you as we do it together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for Jesus, the center of the gospel. I thank you for Jesus who died for us, paid the price that we owed. God, I thank you that you have revealed your plan to us in the Word. And God, I thank you that it's simple, even for barbarians like me. Thank you that you sought us out with Jesus. Lord, help us to respond to you. Help us to not just sit idly by, but Lord, to respond to you in praise and worship, choosing you every day. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are, for what you've done. Amen. Would you go ahead and stand with me for this last song? I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. Oh, I have lived in the goodness of God. Oh, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Yeah. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.